Luke chapter 8.
No, I think it's Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 8, I'm sorry. So what kind of a message are you going to get today? With preacher don't know where he's going. Well, you may have to be merciful to me. I'll just read two verses out of Luke chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. Jesus has given the parable of the sower, and he begins to explain the parable of the sower. He says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Let's pray. Father, we all need your help this day. We come to you as needy people. We are saved by the grace of God. We thank you for that as a gift, a great mercy. We rejoice in our salvation, and yet we know we let you down day after day. Help us, Lord. Give me wisdom. Give me freedom to speak. Use this to be a blessing to someone in here. And Lord, if there's any lost soul in the sound of my voice, I pray they would be drawn to you. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to preach on the parable of the sower, but I had one instance here. I'm preaching on the devil and what he can do to you. I'm preaching on how you can be smart so that you know his tactics, and when he comes up in your life and he comes up in all our lives, you'll be forewarned. And if you're forewarned, you're forearmed. If you know his tactics, then you should not be caught up in them. And yet we are, over and over again. They seem to work. They've been working since a long time back. I remember Job's friends, whatever, and Job and the problems that they had, and the devil has attacked many of us many times, and he uses our own mind. Now notice here, the seed is the word of God. The seed was sown. In verse 12 it says, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Here comes the devil. He takes the word out of the heart. The word's been planted. The word's been preached. It's a gospel service. Maybe the whole thing was about the gospel. And the seed is planted, and the person receives it and says, yes, yes, that's good news. And you know, the devil comes along, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe Wednesday, and he steals it. Where does he steal it from? What Jesus said was the heart. We're talking about the inner man. We're talking about your soul. We're talking about your spiritual being. And of course, they use the heart as that. And that's a blood pump, but we're not talking about the blood pump here. We're talking about your inner man, your inner soul, your inner being. There's an interesting thing about the way the devil talks. Do you know he doesn't talk in a devil's language? He didn't come to you. He talks in your voice. You say, I was thinking. No, he was thinking for you. He speaks with your voice. He uses your language. He uses your emotions. And he defeats you. We're talking about a heart issue. And that's more important than my physical heart. My physical heart, they've taken it out and played football with it while I was laying on the table, I think. But he's talking about the spiritual heart. What do you like down spiritually? The devil works in the hearts of people. And believe me, he works in your heart. He works in your heart. You may not see this thing outside you that he may be using to tick you off, burden you, scare you, offend you. But all you hear is the voice down inside your heart, I'm offended. Now, why should a man preach on something like this? It's pretty simple, isn't it? Well, I've been preaching over 60 years. And you know what I've seen? I have seen two Christians, that men that worked to build a building. On the opening day of that building, these two leader men, one said something that offended the other. They broke up and one left forever. I've seen marriages. You don't know how many marriages I've said. I'm not trying to advertise for being a marriage counselor. I don't even like marriage counseling. If I let the wife come in and tell me about her sorry husband, I get turned around and thinking, okay, he's really a sorry guy, till I hear his side. And then when I hear his side, I think, oh, what a sorry woman. I don't counsel them unless they're together. So they can fight one another. So they can, I call you a liar, you know. You don't see that right. How many marriages have been split over hurt feelings? Nothing. Absolute something that should not have destroyed it. Yet it did. You know it. How many friendships have been broken? Churches split over somebody gets offended at something. I've been criticized a lot. I do listen to my critics, I tell you the truth. Because the critics will tell you something your friends won't. But at any rate, I have seen people leave the church because I say use the word ain't. A-I-N-T. Now, you don't have a substitute contraction for am not. You don't say I amped. Nobody would understand you. You say I ain't. They understand you. So it's in the dictionary. It's actually a word. Maybe it's not upper class English, but bless your heart, it is a real word. I explained that one time, and one of a sweet brother took his whole family out of the church because his mother was an English teacher. He didn't know English at all. He just knew that I shouldn't use the word aunt because his mother said, don't use aunt. I once talked about a booger. You ever heard about booger? I've had people leave the church because I said booger. You gotta watch your spirit. You have to watch your spirit. Can you be rebuked? I'm talking your language. If you can't be rebuked, you're too proud. I don't care who it is. I've been rebuked many times in my life. Sure, it offends me that you're not as smart as I am. That really offends me. No. I've been rebuked many times, but bless your heart. You know who gets in? The devil. The devil gets in, makes you offended, and he causes trouble, and that's one way he causes a lot of trouble in the church, in your family, between your brothers and sisters. I know brothers that haven't talked to each other for 50 years. Something wrong there. And you know what it's over? Nothing. Nothing. So you don't think I'm more handsome than one of the great movie stars. I'm offended that you don't realize how the beauty that I have still at 80 years, almost 81. I'm just offended. I'm not going to come to church again. I don't think I'll ever preach the gospel again. If you don't think I'm handsome, sweet, smart, intelligent, a real personality. So what if somebody doesn't like you? What do you care? Are you really that proud? I was talking about a little old lady in the church, and she was a little old lady. She was a 70-year-old lady, Nelda. And I was speaking. She had this Buick. I mean, it was just like new. It was 20 years old. But it was just like new. It had 33,000 miles on it. And I was telling her to advertise it. Just a little old lady going back and forth to church. Now, when I called her a little old lady, that offended her. Boom. You don't think 70's old? Hey, 60's old. Sorry about that. Yeah. 60's old. Hey, when I was in high school, I got out of high school, and here's one of the football players I knew from 3 or 4 years ahead of me, and he was playing college ball, and he came back out on the football field and met with us, and I thought, what a man. When I came back from Guatemala, I was 33 years old, and they looked like kids. The college players looked like kids to me. Some of the pros looked like kids. They do now. What is this thing about offense? Who are you to take such offense at little things from people who love you? Am I right or wrong? Amen or oh me? You know what it said? The seed's the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Now look back, if you will, in Proverbs, a great verse. Chapter 4, verse 23. It's very good advice for a Christian. Yeah, although it was given to Jews by Solomon. Look what it says. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. One place you need to protect yourself in this world and in this Christian life, in witnessing, in working in the church, in evangelizing, doing the salvation of the Lord, praying for people or talking to people, advising people, you got to watch your heart. Have you noticed how your heart really influences you? Amen. We're influenced by our feelings. Yeah. Way too much. We should not be influenced by our feelings. But we are. If someone criticizes us or doesn't agree with us about something, that's nothing to get offended about. He said right here, keep thy heart. One thing you need to protect in this Christian life is your own heart, your own feelings, the way you think about things, how you get offended. Are you easily offended?
Amen.
Hey, a bunch of us are. Now, I'm not asking for a lift of hands. I might get the whole place, if you were honest. Are you offended, easily offended? Can anybody tell you something you don't particularly like, and you can take it? Or every time somebody tells you something you don't like, you get mad at them, and you don't like them, and you don't want to talk to them, and I'm never going to see them again? That's the work of the devil. That is the work of the devil, and that's what he does in churches, in families, among brothers and sisters, close friends. Keep your heart. Watch out how you think. Watch out how you respond to somebody else's opinion of you or to somebody else's personality. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Now you remember that armor. It's a tremendous thing here. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. You know what wiles means? It means trickery. Yeah. Trickery. You say, I know how to handle the devil. I had a man one time, we were sitting in a prayer meeting, and I was preaching on the devil, and he said, bring the devil on. It wasn't a month he was gone, stayed out, never made it. You don't want to do something like that. I mean, it's sort of like you buy a car every 3 years, maybe two every 4, 5, 6 years. And maybe you're a pretty good trader. I remember one time I was buying one of my daughters a car, and she was with me. And so I dealt with a dealer, and he did this and this, and I did my deal, you know, and he had it down to the payment we wanted to make, but it was 99 cents. I said, well, that's going to be $60 difference in the price. And so I did it. Oh, she bragged on me. She said, oh, Daddy, man, you really held his feet to the fire. Oh, you did a good job, you know. Think about this a minute. Now, I'm going to hurt some of your pride right now. Some of you men that are great buyers and you make the big deal. You got a car salesman who does this 20 to 50 times a day, 6 days a week, for 20 years. You do it once or twice every 4 or 5 years, and you're going to beat him? You're not going to beat him. Anything you tell him, he's seen before. You know, I don't understand. I'm at a loss here. And I lived by buying things and selling things over a period of my life. This pickup is worth $78,000 on the window. But for you, we're going to knock off $20,000. Right off the front. Boom. $20,000 is off. Now you want to bargain over this and bargain over that, and you do this, and you better do a little of that, because a lot of them do that. They just add the price up here, and then they discount it. So it's been added up so they can discount it. And you feel good. Do you think you won, or did he win?
Trickery.
It's trickery. That's exactly right. That's what the devil's good at. Do you know, whenever he started back in Genesis, he hadn't even changed his tactics. You can read about the devil and how he deceived people and fooled people. He's a trickster. He said, take the whole armor of God so you can stand against the wiles, the trickery of the devil. The devil doesn't love you. Let me tell you what, if you're an ex-alcoholic and somebody invites you out for beer, he's not your friend. If you got somebody that wants to be your friend, but he wants to take you down to something that shouldn't be going to. You know what the problem with an awful lot of people is? They don't change their friends. That's why some of the dope people are still on dope. Because when they got out of the rehab or they got out of prison, they went back to the same friends, and the same friends are still doing the same thing, and they're back in it again. To really get through of it, you need to get rid of those people that had an influence upon your life, because the devil will use that to defeat you. He does not want you to be a successful, sweet Christian. He wants you to be an angry, fussing people. You know, I wouldn't stay in a church I didn't like. So if you don't like us, feel free to leave. Does that offend you? I hope it does. Why would you stay someplace you don't like everything that's going there? How many thousands of churches can you go to with no more gas? You can go to them fine. The devil wants your mind. He wants you critical. He wants you offended. He wants you proud. And those are the things that will defeat you. They will defeat your family. They will defeat your children. They will cause trouble in the church, in the home, anywhere. He's been doing it for thousands and thousands of years. He knows what he's doing. But the Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. Bless your hearts. How about humbling yourself a little bit? How about taking the whole armor of God? Look at James chapter 4. In verse 6, he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, You double-minded? Look at verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. It is very hard to offend a humble person. Only by pride cometh contention, is what Proverbs says. We're all too proud. I am too proud. You are too proud. You say, oh, no, I'm not proud. You don't know yourself. If people can offend you by words, you're too proud. If words can break you up in fellowship, in business, in church, in whatever, you're too proud. And you don't think you are. Well, I'm just this humble person. But somebody else thinks you're not as humble as you think you are. Somebody else thinks you're not as pretty as you think you are. Somebody else thinks your work isn't as good as it could be. Somebody has a criticism. A humble person would take it. Okay, I'll do better. I'll try harder. You ever thought how proud we are? I'm proud. I have to fight pride all the time. Someone said, what do you have to be proud about? Well, not much, but that doesn't keep me from being proud. Just because I don't have much to be proud about. And you notice several things that were said there? It said, submit yourselves. Now, I realize some of you have a real problem with submitting yourselves to what the Bible says on certain things. My wife is that way on wives obeying their husband. My wife, I married the original women's liber way back. I did. Bless her heart. She stood up for women's rights. And she was saved. She was a good girl. We got married. I got saved. She starts reading the Bible because I'm reading the Bible. So we're both really reading the Bible, you know, talking about different things. And when she read over there, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. She said, no way. All of a sudden, she had a controversy with God. She worked it out. She believed the book. And he changed her life. Submit yourselves. Some of you are so proud you can't submit yourself. Right. I had a boy. He ended up in prison several times. Not my son, but a young man I knew. He was a good worker. He was intelligent. He could get a good job making good money back in those days. But he got fired quite often. He always, after a week or two, knew more than the boss. Couldn't take instructions. Couldn't take rebuke. Couldn't take you need improvement. What's wrong? Pride. Nothing but pride. He had skill. He had ability. He could sell himself. And yet the pride that was in him kept defeating him over and over again. He went to prison 3 or 4 times. He finally got out. He came here. Brother Kincaid, love you, whatever. When he found out I wasn't going to buy him a car and give him a place to live and a lot of other things, he said, well, I never could fool you, could have. And he left, and I don't know what's happened to him since. Well, let me tell you something. Your pride will whip you every time. The thing you ought to fear is your pride. Because it works in every area of your life. It works in the marriage. It works with the children. It works in the church. It works at work. And what does he tell you? He tells you to humble yourself. He said, submit yourselves in verse 7 of James chapter 4. It says, verse 8, draw nigh to God. And then it says in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. How many times do you have to be told? None of us like to be humbled. Am I right? None of us. We all like to be thought well of. We all like to be thought we're the greatest, you know. Well, bless your hearts. I want to surprise you. You're not the greatest. I don't care if Muhammad Ali says he's the greatest. He's not the greatest either. You're not the greatest. You're just one of these human beings. I think you're a nice person. I think you do good and do well and praise God for you. You're not the greatest. Don't let words steal your joy. Don't let anybody's attitude destroy your life. And that's what you do. That's exactly what you do. You want to know why we don't get a revival sometimes? Because we're not humble enough. If we were humble enough, we'd be seeking God and asking for forgiveness and confessing. We noticed some of these things on the Ray Comfort tapes that he keeps trying to get people to admit they're a sinner. And he has a good way of going to the Ten Commandments and asking if they'd ever stolen, if they've ever lied. Well, sure. Have you ever lusted? Well, of course. Anybody that says they haven't, why, they're lying to themselves. They're just blind. Showing sin. Why don't you humble yourself? We're not very humble. We're Americans. Amen. Our flag never dips. We're Americans. We're proud people. We got a lot of freedom. We got a lot of things to be proud about. That's true. But each of us individually, you know what? To get along with people, everybody has to give and take. How come you can't give? How come you can't take? Too proud. Well, what does God say is the remedy for that? Humble yourself. You shouldn't have to have anybody else to humble you. You ought to be praying every day, Lord, forgive me for my pride. Lord, forgive me for my stubbornness. Lord, forgive me for my stupidity. I think I've tried pretty hard to walk for the Lord. Tried to turn away from a lot of things in my life. And yet I find myself in Romans chapter 7. It's true. I recognize the law is holy, but I recognize I'm a sinner still. I've had some people tell me, well, if you're saved, you're not a sinner anymore. Well, I understand what they're saying. You're a saint. Praise the Lord. But you know what it is? Take a look at the attitude in your life. Take a look at what is the thoughts that go through your mind. Do you get angry? Well, you probably shouldn't. Do you lust? Well, you probably shouldn't. But I'll tell you, Americans lust not just for sex. Of course, they got plenty of that. Look at every ad. All ads. Television, billboards, whatever. They want you to be lustful of their new car. They want you to be lustful of their diamonds. Oh, they've got these beautiful diamonds, and if you wear these diamonds, you'll be so great. Oh, you'd be a whole lot better with cut rocks. Sorry about that. That's my opinion. He said, draw nigh to God. Cleanse your hands and your hearts. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You go to God in prayer, how do you pray? Lord, I have faithfully served you for 20 years, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. I have faithfully served you. Have you? Can you say that? I can't. I faithfully served you? No. As Billy was speaking about some of the teaching, when I'm doing my best work, there's a whole lot of Lindell's pride in it. When I've given my best advice, when I've taken the guff that I had to take in order to get you to the place where I could do something, and I think I'm doing this for God, there's too much of Lindell in it. So what do I have to confess? I have to confess pride, selfishness, stupidity, and a wrong opinion, and humble myself before God. God's not going to bless us because we think well of ourselves. As I read in the Bible, he's going to bless us if we humble ourselves. That's true. How humble are you? When you pray, how humble are you? Lord, all those little sins, well, you take care of them. But please give me a new Cadillac. Lord, I want a new house. Lord, I need a better job. Lord, I'm so tired of.
Amen.
Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 6. Here's this phrase again. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due times. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Christian, this is to Christians. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, resist. You got an enemy. He's an enemy that works big time among Christians. He does not want you to be really spiritual. He does not want you really to seek God or to serve God. He really does not want you to be holy. He wants you to worship him. But you're supposed to worship God. There's those phrases again. Humble yourselves. Have you been reading the Bible lately? Have you run across that? You realize it meant you? Humble yourselves. Some of you are proud of your gun. Some of you are proud of your truck. Some of you are proud of your boat. Some of you are proud of your houses. Some of you are proud of your kids. Whatever. Pride is all around us, all in us. And we come before the Lord all the time. Can you imagine how big this God is we serve? He's awful big. DNA. My Linda wanted me to get my DNA checked, you know. I guess she thought I came from a bunch of outlaws and robbers, and she didn't want that in her history, you know, or something. Well, we checked it out. They had me spit in a bottle, mail it off somewhere. And they come back and they tell me what my ancestry is. Well, it's what my daddy told me all along. You're Scotch, Irish, and Dutch. I'm 80-something percent English, Scotch, Irish. That's what I am. And then I got a bunch of little one percenters, but I don't even count one percenters. Who are you? How big are you? I know people that say, well, you know, I'm related to the king of... It was in my mother's family, she was a Hoover, that they were related distantly to President Hoover. Big deal. What do you take pride in, huh? What do you take pride in? How about your service to the Lord? Is it really on an up and up? I mean, are you really one of God's faithful children? I hope you are. But I'm afraid most of us are pretty mediocre.
Right.
Don't you think so?
Right. Amen.
Most of us are pretty mediocre when it comes to serving God and to walking spiritually and to handling the world and the situations around us in a spiritual matter that would please God. Some of you won't get saved because you're unwilling to admit you need to be. I have met people, I've witnessed a lot of people. You know something? There's a whole lot of them that just won't get saved because they won't admit they're a sinner. Look at Mark 11:25, and I'll close with this. This is Jesus. Mark 11:25. I want you to get it. You might ought to mark it in your Bible. Put a mark in it where you'd find it. Dogear the page. No, I don't dogear the page. And when you stand praying, forgive. Do you understand that? Is that clear enough? When you stand praying, you're asking God. You're asking God to forgive you. You're asking for God to bless you. You're asking God to do something for you. You're asking for God to heal somebody, save somebody. What does he tell you to do? Forgive. No matter what was said. You know, there's a place in the Bible that says, if he asks you to forgive, forgive. I think it's a little more than that. I believe that sometimes you just have to forgive for your own self. Just forgive. If I got anything that's wrong with me, if I got anybody that I've got a judgment against, they haven't done anything about it. They don't see it. They don't know it. Forgive them. You know why? Why? Why should you forgive? You've been forgiven. What Billy was talking about this morning, I've seen the two sides of this for years. I was raised up under John Wesley in a Methodist church like. And so I saw that side of it. And I thought eternal security was a dangerous doctrine when I was raised up. That's what my dad taught me. But I came to embrace it. It's the Bible. And if it's not eternal security and if it's not a gift of God, not a one of you stands a chance. Forgive? How do you keep a good marriage going for 60 years? I did. Because I forgave her, sweet her, lovely her, smart her. I forgave her over and over and over again. And she forgave me over and over and over again. And what do you think about the church right here? Two things God gave us, and they're very difficult to maintain right. That's the home and the church. Marriage and the church. That's the two institutions of God. How do you make it? You forgive. You forgive when they forget. You forgive when they're tired and snippy. You forget when they're disobedient. You just forget it. You do the best you can and you finally pray for each other, hoping for changes maybe. Sometimes they come. Sometimes they don't. But you stay together. You stick together. The family, the friends, the brothers, the church, you forgive. We can't make it without forgiving each other. You can't make it in the Christian life if you don't get to the place that you're forgiving. Otherwise, you're going to have a whole lot of controversies and a whole lot of problems that just keep coming up and slapping you in the face, slapping you in the face. What do you say? Humble yourself. Forgive. Humble yourself. Resist the devil. Seek the Lord. Amen. Christian friend, I've been in revival meetings where somebody in the invitation from this aisle over here starts crying, walks around and pulls somebody out of an aisle right over here and say, forgive me. Both of them weeping. Forgive me. Forgive me. Revival took place. Something happened. Somebody humbled themselves. Somebody decided to get things right. Don't carry grudges. Your grudge never hurts the person you're against. It hurts you. You, in your proud mind, will not confess your need of God when you need Him so badly. Humble yourself under the hand of God, that He may bless you. How about forgiving? I don't see any lost person here, but I'm sure there's some. I just want to say to you, I didn't preach a gospel message this morning. I had another burden. But let me tell you what. There's a Savior called Jesus Christ. He loved you so much, He died in your place. He'll save your soul as a gift of God for all eternity if you'll repent of your sins and seek His face and let Him save you. We're going to sing number 249. If the Lord's laid something on your heart, then deal with it. It's what this altar's open for.